January now.
Happy January.
Weird.
Isn't it? How did 2020 go so fast yet so slowly at the same time?
I feel like we're in a weird, like, fucking time loop or something.
Yeah.
Like,
do you know what it is?
What?
You know the way there's, like, the whole Matrix theory?
Yeah.
And there's, like, a subdivision of that is that we are some alien race's Game of Sims.
Yeah. I wouldn't dispute
They fast forwarded towards the end of the year. They were like, ah, fuck this. This nightmare is going on for too long. So they were just like, time warp, go faster.
Get out.
And we've all just been nooming around our lives and not realised that everything was in, like, triple speed.
Like, how mental is it that Tiger King was at the very start of... No, it wasn't even start of lockdown, so March. Not even, like, the new year.
No, it was March. And now we're, like, 2 months away from March again.
I don't understand it.
What's that about? I don't look forward to the horrors that this year has in hold for us.
No, I'm listening to The Witches of Witch Talk, and people can laugh at me if they want, but I won't mess with them. But they are, what were they saying? Because is it Jupiter and Saturn or some shit like that is going to align for the first time in like 800 years, but it's also the start of the age of Aquarius. And it's like these signs only change every like 2000 years. So people are like, big shit is coming in 2021. So like this year, I'm like, well, it can't be any worse than 2020. And like, touch wood, that I don't eat them words because this year has been atrocious.
I'm just feeling, I don't like the age of Aquarius thing, because the last time that happened, we had the Manson family cult, so.
Like, was interesting, won't say it wasn't, but like.
Not exactly what you would qualify as a good time.
No, but if you had, would you rather like Manson family or global pandemic? I know which one I'm picking, and not that I advocate for murder, obviously.
But less people would die than they did in the global pandemic.
Yeah, the death of like
hundreds
of thousands, it's like, oh.
Unless we end up with another kind of Jonestown situation.
Because
I feel like if you're starting a cult in 2021, you really got to be like extravagant. There's got
to
be some
salt
and pepper.
You need to surpass your predecessors like 100%.
Never mind salt and pepper, there's got to be spice. Like, you got to judge that up. You can't just start a shitey cult. There's been too many now as well. Yeah. You've got competition.
And a lot of them are embarrassing, to be honest. The shit they try to pull off.
They really are.
Stop it.
Honestly.
This is when we start ours. And I am the messiah.
I mean.
Next level. Because I planned it when I was delusional in quarantine that time.
When you had the Rona.
Yeah, it was fully, fully planned out. Oh, I was deluded. But
anything born in a fever dream is a good idea. That is,
this is
100%
what I
fact.
Because I would treat people with what respect? Maybe not Queeva.
Exactly.
Her respect.
We won't
has to be
make
earned.
You.
But
I mean, yeah. If the dynamic between you and Queeva bickering and bitching between each other is just, if that ever changes, something has gone horribly wrong.
That's when the arrival of the second coming of Christ or the Antichrist.
Yeah. That's when we find out I am the Antichrist. Yes. And you and Queeva have to team up and defeat me. That's the only way you're going to stop bickering.
Without fighting. Is...
It's the only way. But yeah, so new year, new us. How about that? We're still doing the same old shit that we were doing last year. So that's a lie. But I hope better things are in store for us.
Question. What, obviously, apart from global pandemic, has stuck out to you? From last year.
From 2020.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I mean, there was the whole America thing.
Oh.
That was a lot.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say. That was a lot. Personally, because I know mine and now I feel bad at my answer. Because mine was when I saw the mentally ill man finger in his arsehole in broad daylight in Parnell Square.
Oh my God. Yes.
I mean. Yeah.
I mean, that is a fair thing to stick with you. That's kind of traumatising.
Yeah, but now...
And I haven't really left the house in 2020, so I don't have my own personal shit. I just have like, the world was kind of mad, wasn't it?
I feel like I should reevaluate my answer and I'll come back to it at the end. Because I need to have a long, hard look at myself and what I prioritise.
It's the same thing really, isn't it?
I mean, true. Because to be honest...
It's just a mess and no one enjoyed watching it.
His face, I still... Like, he was having a good time. Like, I still remember his face and how shocked me and Rachel were. She nearly crashed a car. There was children not looking.
There's nothing good about that story. There isn't.
We actually did a loop back around because you're like, did we just like hallucinate? Did we actually just see that? And then he was gone when we got back around. So we're like,
oh my God, it was just an apparition. It was fucking Billy in the Bowl. He just developed legs.
Putting his arms to good use.
Oh, what's the point in having big strong arms if you don't use them? I feel like that's just trademark Dublin. Like, when we, the first time we came back to Ireland, I think you know this story, but when we first came back after moving over here to Germany, and it's just pinnacle how we knew we were in Ireland, was there was what we will call a schkob.
Oh.
In trademark tracksuit pants, tucked into the socks, langers, absolutely pissed, falling around the place drunk. And he fell and his bag fell over and about 40 cans fell out of it and a bottle of vodka broke. And I was like, ah, I'm home.
Oh my God, that actually reminds me. Did I ever tell you about the time that me and the girls were coming back from Leeds, I think it was. And the alcohol sat behind us on the bus and started pissing all over the floor. And I could
yes,
hear it.
Oh my God.
And I have the videos of them like, I'm gonna beat Billy Mackey. Roaring at the top of his voice, piss hitting the back of our shoes.
Oh, we are painting a beautiful picture for our international listeners in six other countries that aren't Ireland.
It's like the old swarm of Dublin Airport. Your man didn't even have a bag. He just got on the green bus there, which is weird.
They do. I feel like they just like live there and traumatise people as they come in. It's like, you know the way you came here, thinking Ireland was this beautiful, magical place full of the crack, the Emerald Isle, stunning. No, it is full of winos who will piss on your shoes on the bus. That's what we have.
Yep. Flash and then if you go to everybody on the bus.
Yep. And if you go to the Red Cow in Dublin, which is where everyone goes to get their buses and Lewis's, you will most likely find a junkie. And
most likely, definitely.
Most definitely.
Heroin needles just lining the bridges.
it's like our confetti.
Like in the likes of, where have they? In Austria and Paris, all the Love Lock bridges. We just have fucking hypodermic needles.
Oh my God, I almost choked on my tea when you said that. Oh. Drinking tea while spilling the tea on Ireland. This is the way we are starting 2021 and I am here for it. I'm such a fan. So, welcome back. Welcome back, listeners. I just realised we're just coming back off a little bit of a break as well. We're gone for what, like 2 weeks?
No.
Ish?
I think just over
Christmas,
a week.
The new year.
No, just a week. Cause
we technically only miss one Friday actually. So no, it's 1 week of podcast time.
That's what I was
two
thinking.
2 weeks of time. Yeah.
My brain just...
Yes, we've only been gone for one Friday. Jesus, so, God forbid.
We have a bit of fucking relaxation. I work in retail. What am I talking about? I don't know relaxation come Christmas. What am I talking about?
Yeah, what is relaxing? I'm unemployed and I still don't know how to relax. I have been unemployed for even longer now. Like almost 10 months. Oh my God, that is awful. Although that might change, but I haven't done any unemployed person things. Like I haven't slept in till 4 o'clock. I haven't developed a drinking habit. I just like, I get up and still act like I have a job and I feel like I need to be more unemployed for the remainder of my unemployed period.
I mean, you could.
It's not going to happen. This podcast is my job. And speaking of podcasts, let's move on with it, shall we?
Seems like the professional
I'm
thing
sure.
to do.
Yeah, I'm sure people are sick of hearing us ramble on for 13 minutes at this point. So. Talking shit about our home country and all that. We're starting 2021 with a bang, I think, in my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. And we don't normally talk about cases of single murder where just one person was killed. But in this instance, we are discussing voluntary murder, and if that's not interesting, I don't know what is. We're going to be doing two cases of the same pretty much thing. One is just murder, the other one is cannibalism. Equally fucking fascinating.
And what? Hilarious.
Yeah, let's be
they are fucking gasping.
I hate it. It's so like bizarre that you can't help but laugh at it. And it's also like, it's hard to have sympathy for the victim because they wanted it.
Yeah.
So it's like, do I feel sorry for you or am I happy for you? Like, how does that work? I think in my case, I'm not happy for her, but we'll get into that and I'll explain why I'm not.
Okay.
It's quite petty why I'm not, but I feel like justified. So we'll get into it when we get to the story. But in honour.
You have found the dice and you actually have it with you this time.
I do. It now lives in the little... What even are they? I know, I have like a bag hanging off the side of my desk that I can store shit in.
A shit bag.
Basically.
There you go. We had a shit press before.
Yeah, pretty much.
This is a shit bag.
This is a shit bag. So it now lives in the shit bag next to my desk so that it never goes missing again.
Caution, does not contain actual shit.
I hope not. I do have two cats. It's questionable. So we are going to roll. Above 10 is Lizzie. Below 10 is me. And oh my god, Liz, it's an 8. You're blessed for 1 week.
Has 2021 like been the new making of me? I get to fucking relax.
It's
at the start of an episode now. My god,
this is unprecedented. It really is.
Times are
now
changing.
Now we can't open the packaging off of the fucking dice.
Do you know what you could do? Yeah, you could just leave it until we finished if you're struggling that much.
Listen, that would have been the normal thing to do for someone who has half a brain. But we both know I don't. So
I mean, look.
This is where we are.
I didn't want to say it.
So, to kick us off for our voluntary murder week, I am covering the story of Sharon Lopatka. I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce her name. That's how I'm going to pronounce her name. I'm sorry if it's wrong.
Probably is, but we'll skate over the fact.
No problem. It's fine. So, Sharon was the oldest of four daughters, and she was born in 1961 in Baltimore, Maryland. So her family were like Orthodox Jewish,
right?
Which I feel like if you're Orthodox Jewish, you are quite religious and strict and very structured.
Yeah.
So that comes into play later as to why I'm mentioning that her family might have been very, you know,
domineering, controlling.
Yeah. So she played volleyball, she played field hockey, she had a ton of friends, she was a nurse's aide, a library aide, a teacher's aide. Pretty much all of her friends from high school said that she was as normal as you could get when they knew her in school.
Right.
But then Sharon went, and didn't she only go and marry a Catholic man in 1991?
The worst thing she could have done.
Honest to God. So she marries Victor the Catholic, and... The family, as I said, very strict, Orthodox, Jewish family, did not like this in any way, shape, or form.
I cannot say I disagree.
How dare you marry outside of your religion? What time do you think this is? This is the 90s, Sharon.
Calm yourself.
The women only birthed the bras 40 years ago. No, 30 years ago. How many rights do you think you have to be choosing someone? So yeah, they hated that and they cut off ties with her because of it.
Right.
They were like mortified that she would marry somebody outside of their religion.
Right.
But Sharon said that that was like her way of breaking away from her family. Which again, in saying that, I feel like that means they were very controlling and domineering over her and she just didn't like it anymore.
Yeah.
So...
Well, like if she was...
I feel like she...
No, go on.
No, carry on.
I was going to say, like, if she was doing that many stuff as in, like, volunteering, doing this, doing that, and then you're still getting roared at and aspects of your life are still being controlled, I can understand why any semblance of her mind she had left was about to be lost fairly quick.
Yeah. Just it's a severe lack of, like, being who she actually was.
Yeah.
So, that's my personal opinion. I don't know. We can't ask her. But... That's how I feel. So I feel like marrying Victor the Catholic might have been a way of like rebelling against the family as well.
Yeah.
I'm sure she loved him and like thought he was fucking gorgeous and all of that.
Maybe.
But a slight part of her definitely did it out of spite.
Right.
Just, again, my personal opinion, but we all know how spiteful women are.
Yeah.
We do a lot of things out of spite.
Even if it's to spite ourselves.
Exactly. We'll spite ourselves more than anyone. So herself and Victor moved to a cul-de-sac in Hampstead, Maryland. So, I mean, they're still in Maryland. They did move that far away.
But the whole of the Americas, love.
You could have gone anywhere and you'd have stayed in Maryland. Maybe it's nice. We don't know. We've never been. So, neighbors said that Victor and Sharon.
Wait, what was the actual name?
Sharon.
Sharon! Ozzy!
I knew you were going to do it as soon as you asked me. I was like, no, not this again.
One of my top 10 funniest moments, like, nobody listening knows what we're on about, but I basically ruined Silent Hill for Savannah, my first ever time watching it, and it still haunts her to this day.
It's never been the same. And Silent Hill is one of my favourite childhood horror, we'll put in inverted commas because it's not a horror. One of my absolute favourite movies from when I was young. And then I watched it with Lizzie. I was like, you need to watch this because it's great. And the daughter's name is Sharon. And anyone who knows Ozzy Osbourne and how he calls his wife,
Sharon!
Every time the mother called Sharon's name, Lizzie would scream like Ozzy Osbourne. And it has ruined my life ever since. So, and now Sharon, poor Sharon, and Victor, they're going to be ruined by it too. So Sharon and Victor kept to themselves. Okay, then that's what the neighbors said. They didn't really know them. They just kind of see them around, like they'd see Victor cycling or running with the dog. I think it was a black Labrador. I read so many sources, a million. Google is that's all I can say. I read so many articles on Google and most of them said the exact same thing, but every so often I'd find a teeny snippet that wasn't in another one, and this is one of them, and I forgot to go back and try and find what fucking article said what breed of dog it was, but it's really not that important. It's
love a black lab. They're a great dog.
I think it was a black lab, if I'm remembering right. I just want to specify that I'm not sure if I'm right, so if I'm wrong, don't come for me. Yeah, they'd see Victor. And when the kids would go like trick-or-treating around the cul-de-sac for Halloween, they said that they gave them like mega, not even full size, but like mega size candy bars for Halloween. So like they seem real generous because who the fuck does that? Nobody does that.
The variety pack that has the mini version.
Yeah, the fun size.
And just toss them
out. Only get fun size. Imagine getting like a big massive bar of
chocolate. Like a full size Snickers or a Galaxy. See there. Rich is what I'm...
Might be good reason as to why they had a bit of dough.
Did they have underfloor heating? Because if they did...
I don't know. Weirdly, that wasn't mentioned.
Such a shame, because then we'd know what kind of standard of wealth we were dealing with.
Underfloor heating is the marker. It really is. God, I miss having underfloor heating.
I've never once had it in my life.
It's beautiful. You just lie there and you're like, I'm so toasty.
Council estates, we don't get it.
Yeah, they rarely saw Shannon. They just, like, one of the neighbours said, I didn't even know her name was Shannon until after all.
Wait, so I'm still confused. So, is it Sharon or is it Shannon?
Fucking
Sharon!
I keep, do you know why? I keep thinking of the Chris Watt story since I said Shannon, even though it was Shannon. Yeah. But I just keep thinking of that since I said Shannon.
Anytime,
and now it's just after putting Shannon into my brain.
Anytime you say Shannon, I'm just going to roar at you. Sharon!
Yes, thank you. I mean, it's not as bad as when I accidentally implicated Les Dennis in the Black Dahlia murder. So.
I bet he's fucking seething about that.
I am now blacklisted by Les Dennis. Sharon, yes. They didn't even know her name was Sharon until after all of this shit went down. So just never really saw her. They kept to themselves. They weren't really part of the community, we'll say. But they seemed nice and bubbly and friendly. Yeah. Was the general consensus. So Victor worked during the day and Sharon took to the interwebs. Ho ho ho. In 1996. I can only imagine what kind of a mess it was like back then. In order to earn some extra income. So she started a website with her friend. It was called Dion's Secret of Home Decorating Guide.
I wonder if it's still there.
It could be. It could be because like it was like literally the next sentence in my notes. They turned it into a book and you could buy it online, but they'd also like sell it to like the church ladies that they went to mass with on a Sunday and stuff like that. So it did well. Like they were really into home decorating. So it was good. Mm. You know, it wasn't like just paint your walls one color.
Yeah.
Have you seen the latest disgusting 1996 wallpaper? That kind of stuff. So yeah, it seemed like that was doing well. And then Sharon went off and she started some other internet endeavors, starting with a website offering spiritual advice and psychic readings. We don't know was she spiritual nor psychic, but she did it anyway.
I mean, look, Sharon, get that money, but...
Exactly. Appreciate the graft. We love a self-proclaimed anything, and we can only assume she was a self-proclaimed psychic, so... Next, she had a adult chat line.
Sharon.
With a 1-900 number where people could call for a higher rate. So, you know, party lines. Basically, she's every ad we ever saw on TV back in like 2002. Do they still happen? Are they still a thing? Do we need that now in the dawn of Pornhub and OnlyFans?
I doubt it's still a thing.
I doubt it too. I've seen some ads of it here.
But the porn not come on the telly over there like past 9 o'clock.
Exactly. Past 9 o'clock, it's just hardcore German bondage porn. We'll have discussed that last week, but last time, Christmas Day. But yeah. So not surprised that there's still ads for sex lines there, but I don't know.
I remember listening to a podcast with Joe Santagato, and him and his friend were like taking the piss, like wondering if some of the old lines still work. So they're look up like 1-800, like lick my ass and shit like that. But the lines would actually still work, but I don't know. Like there was a few of them, but I don't know like if one's over here and stuff.
It's just one dusty 80-year-old woman that still hasn't given up her old life.
On a ventilator currently.
Oh, it's just Dot Browning. Okay, yeah, so she ran a sex line. And she also ran ads for different companies. So she was just basically doing anything and everything she could on the internet to make money. Which, you know, get that money, girl.
Go get it.
And we have to assume that poor old Victor did not know that his wife was running a sex line.
Yeah, I can't imagine old Vic.
Because I feel like, old Catholic Vic in 1996 being okay with his wife.
He would have had an aneurysm.
I don't see it. This is like, it's not like now... When people are like, oh yeah, this is my girlfriend. She earns 20 grand a month on OnlyFans. Like,
this would have been a shock to this man's life. Like, the white light would have been his aneurysm, but he think he's going to God. Like, he would have just passed away.
That's it, yeah. It just would have sent him to Jesus immediately if he found out.
Just to find out that Jesus also rings it up on the weekends.
Jesus has his own one. You thought these holes in my hands weren't for a purpose?
And they are glorious. Sacrilege. The glory holes.
So, aside from making that money, Sharon spent a lot of time browsing porn and then eventually ventured into, like, fetish websites like bondage and everyone's favourite, necrophilia.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know how we swing from bondage to just, like, liking being tied up and maybe lightly spanked into wanting to bang a dead body. Yeah, bit of a stretch. But this is where we've ended up.
I feel uncomfortable now.
Good, stay in that headspace because it does not get better from here. So Sharon developed different personas for different websites, obviously. It's 96. Everyone's pretending to be somebody else online.
Slim Shady.
Those would range from a shapely 5'6" woman who was 121 pounds.
I have no concept of how heavy that is.
Me neither. I was meant to look this up before the podcast and then it completely forgot.
Do you know what? Don't tell me, because if I'm heavier and that's meant to be normal, I'll cry.
Let's find out. Listen, both of us are going to not live up to this. So 121 pounds in stone first.
Yeah, because I don't understand kg.
It's, oh my god, 8.6 stone.
Ah, fuck off.
It's not even normal.
That is That is one leg.
Literally. 54 kilos.
Would you?
Yeah.
Away?
Listen, even when I starved myself, I couldn't even achieve those kind of goals. So, not happening. That's not even shapely. That's just an iron and board. Anyway, we're not coming for people who don't weigh as much as we do. So we're just salty.
I wish we could be thin, but...
You'd swear we're fucking enormous. Like,
honest
actual
God,
planets.
Have our own solar system, like, we're that fucking big.
We are... What's the new, like, the new TikTok word that them youngsters are saying? So what? Slim thick.
I mean, I am in the front because my belly's bigger than my arse, but look... I hate myself.
So this is where I'm fat but flat in the belly, so I'm like, this is fine. I go out, not forward.
Oh,
Christ. to then being a 300-pound dominatrix who promised strict discipline. And 300 pounds is 21 stone. So big fucking difference.
Big girl.
And in kgs, for the rest of the world, it's 136 kg.
Who weighs in kgs? Can I just ask?
Germany, at least. I think most of, like, Central Europe do.
So what?
Yeah. It's been an adjustment, having to go from stone to kg. She also had a persona called Nancy Carlson, who would make any type of sexual video that the customer chose. It just sounds like Owl Sharon was up for anything.
Well, I mean, if anything, she was sound to get into necrophilia, TBH, would not put anything by her.
Yeah, in all fairness. And she's obviously very comfortable to be sending videos. Now again, I don't know if she actually ever did, because there's no, like, proof of it.
Well, like, but participate in necrophilia or send videos?
Send videos, right, of herself doing whatever people asked for.
Right.
I don't know. It's actually a lot of the hard evidence that would be required to really delve into this case doesn't exist. So, well, not to us peasants anyway. Yeah. We can't find it on the internet.
Right.
Then, as Nancy Carlson, I think as well, she made a post saying, I am 25. She wasn't. I have blonde hair, green eyes. I'm 5'6" and 121 pounds. Is anyone out there interested in buying my used, I'm sorry for saying this word, panties or pantyhose? This is not a joke or a wacky internet scam. I'm very serious about this. If you're serious too, you can email me. That is a direct quote.
She was the word
trying to sell her knickers.
Panties and then... Yeah. Wacky. I just feel like that's actually such an embarrassing word.
Wacky internet scam.
Oh my god.
Mortified. Buy my wackypanties.com.
Sick.
But yeah, and again, I don't know why I fixated on this, but that bothered me because she's claiming to be 121 pounds, 8 stone. That's a very, very slim person.
Yeah.
Very slim.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not trying to come for a victim here, or a technical victim. Depends on how you look at it. Sharon was in no way a slim woman.
I'm not being funny, but I think I could solve what she would have done. Anyway, she would have bought a small pair. This is going to sound sick, and I even feel disgusting saying it. Give it an owl wipe.
Do you think? Is that what... Yeah, I'm like, won't they know that they've either not been worn, or when they come and they're like four sizes bigger than what you're claiming to be?
I reckon...
That maybe you're not what you said you wore.
I feel like this was her, like, her cheat code, like, around it. Mm.
Or she just, like, turned them inside out and put them into her... Yeah, she could have done into her, like, regular underwear. Yeah. So that they were still technically used, just not actually worn.
Yeah.
More draped. Look, again, the semantics. It's not important, but these are the things I think about. But yeah, like I said, tights you can get away with, because they look small no matter how big they actually are until you stretch them out.
Yeah.
Which is...
That's true.
Pantyhose, which I've always hated that word. They're tights. What? Just call them tights.
What is the thing with the hose? Like, tights, they keep you, like, tight. Hose.
I don't know.
Is it, like, stupid?
Short for the word hosiery, which is, like, the word... term for socks and shit.
It definitely is, but it's still ridiculous.
It bothers me. Just because we understand the etymology doesn't mean we appreciate it.
Exactly.
One of her next posts she had was, Hi.
Hi.
My name is Nancy. I just made a VHS of actual women, willing and unwilling, to be knocked out, drugged, under hypnosis and chloroformed. Never before has a video like this been made that shows the real beauty of a sleeping victim.
Ew, so rape fantasies.
Yeah, and somnophilia.
Stop.
Now, again, there is no proof that she ever made this video. And let's hope she didn't, because that's a bit concerning. Because, again, that is, in fact, rape.
Yeah, for sure.
Full stop. Even if it's, like, consensual non-consent, if somebody did be like, yeah, I'm up for being knocked out and then you can do what you want with my passed out body, it's still fucking weird.
Yeah, it is.
And especially to record it. I feel like if somebody is... in that mind space where they look at, we're not here to judge your kinks, we're just not. If you're into consensual non-consent, that's your business, boo. But I don't think it should be recorded and put out on the internet.
No.
So, just my personal opinion once again. So then, November 1996, Sharon starts posting in chat rooms, like bondage chat rooms,
mm-hmm.
about wanting to be tortured to death.
Oh.
As a sexual kink.
Well, it's the last kink you're ever going to fucking experience, love. If
This is what I'm thinking. I'm like, it does it count as a kink if you only technically get to do it once?
That's just a death wish and how you want to die.
Yeah, yeah.
If you not, then that's your business, look, but I won't call it a kink.
Exactly. If you get to pop your rocks while you're dying, I feel like that's a good way to go. I understand it. I can see the appeal-ish. But I feel like, you know, yeah. Death by an orgasm so strong gives you a brain aneurysm. That's far better than being tortured to death. That's my personal opinion.
I don't think you're wrong.
The bondage community was like, not here for it. They were like, Sharon, no.
Calm down.
This is not what we're about. You can't be saying shit like that here.
A bit of Rihanna S&M, like chains and whips excite me, not like, yeah, chain me by the fucking neck until my head comes off. No, Sharon.
Yeah, not fucking cut me open with knives till I bleed out. Like, this is, no. This is not what we're here for. She then kind of got real pissed off that everyone was like, stop it.
Calling her a weirdo.
Get some help. And she was like, I want the real thing. I didn't ask for you preaching to me. It's like, no, you asked me to torture you to death, and that's worse.
For other people's opinion, Sharon, but people give them nonetheless. Yes.
I mean, look, the internet is only a bare 7 years old at this point. We haven't figured out that you can't talk about things on the internet without somebody else being like, you're wrong and this is why. But in this case, she was wrong and they gave her the reasons why. So Sharon got, weirdly, a lot of responses from men who were willing-ish to fulfill her fantasy. But they were looking for role play. So it was more like, imagine it happened more than actually doing the thing.
Yeah, right,
which
okay.
is mostly what that is. Like, most of the, like, death fans. I know someone who has a whole thing where she wants to be drowned. And I find that insane.
We're talking about that
But
later.
It's more the fantasy of it. Yes, I'll fill you in. But yeah, and that's like, that's her thing. But she doesn't actually want to die. You know what I mean? It's just the fantasy of it. That's the thing they're going for, but not Sharon. Sharon wanted
serious,
it.
Like.
Yeah, she was dead serious. So then when the men would realise that she was very serious about it, they would run for the hills. They were like, goodbye, Sharon. No, not murdering you today. Mm-hmm. So finally, though, one man was serious about making her fantasy a reality.
You're going to find a nut or something.
There's always one. There's always one. So now we have 45-year-old Robert Glass. And Robert, old Rob, worked as a computer analyst for the government in North Carolina.
We have a weird cross connect.
Right? And he was described as a quiet and friendly guy. And one of his, I think it was his neighbor slash friend, he came forward afterwards and was like, he was like the nicest guy you could ever hope to meet. And that he would look after you. And the guy that came forward, the neighbor friend, said that he had been behind on his mortgage twice and Robert made the payments for him to help him out.
Oh,
which I'm like, that is a genuinely really good thing to do that, like, very few people would be willing
True.
To do.
True, didn't, like, Jeffrey Epstein also donate, like, millions to charity and he was still a nun. So look, money masks monsters. I'll say it once and I'll say it again.
Lizzie, hold that in your heart, please. I'll get there in a couple of pages, but we're almost there. Let's just say this is the only redeeming quality that I've heard in this story of Robert. He worked at his job for over 16 years and he was married for over 14 years to his wife Sherry. They had three quid
and after paying off someone's mortgage.
Just 3 quid to their name, that was it, full stop. They had three children between the ages of 6 and 10. So young kids, basically. They were all quite close in age, from what I can figure out. So Sherry said computers were a passion for Robert, but he paid way more attention to his computer than he ever did to her or their marriage. So when he was away at work, she decided to scope out what he was actually up to when he was on the computer, because we've said it 1,000 times, but a woman knows. She knows when something's just not right. Yeah. And Sherry knew. She knew. She was like, there's some deeper shit going on. So she scoped it out and she found emails saved onto his hard drive. Not just like regular emails. No, he saved them. They were important to him.
Oh.
And they were written under the pseudonyms Slowhand or Toyman.
Oh my goodness.
Both of which I find
so
revolting.
Embarrassing. Who wants his slow, wrinkly hands?
Actually.
Made you say.
Just a small bit of vomit there. So she said that the contents of the emails actually like scared her. She wasn't expecting them because they were raw, violent and disturbing.
Ooh.
Yeah. So she confronts Robert when he comes home from work and he just can't even defend it. She said all of the colour just drained from his face and he just had nothing to say. Because what can you even? There's like thousands of emails proving that you're a sexual deviant yeah. that your wife never knew about. What are you meant to say? Like, ah, wasn't me.
Like someone hacked. Like, what the fuck is hacking? It's 1996.
No one hacks in 96. What are you talking about? Our internet still goes burr, 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 when we turn it on. So yeah, so she said then she realised she didn't even know who the fuck he was. Yeah. The man she had been married to 14 years was a complete stranger to her. So she took the kids and she left. Good woman, Cherry. But apparently the marriage had been over for years, realistically, because towards the end of the marriage, he like she would try to have sex with him and he would push her away or fob her off. And in the end, he just straight out told her that he wasn't attracted to her anymore.
But to be fair, he probably couldn't do all the things he wanted to do to her to find her attractive.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Yeah. You know? I mean, obviously their sex life had to have been decent at the start because they made three fucking humans.
I mean, decent. Look, they might doubt it was decent.
They could have just had sex those exact three times. The marriage was over. She knew it. She left. So now, August 1996, Robert and Sharon meet in a fetish chat room. Robert had been posting about inflicting pain and Sharon, seeing this, was like, ding, ding, ding. Here's my man. This is the one.
We have a winner.
And she starts posting about her desire to be tortured to death and how she wanted to be tied up and strangled until she reached climax. Because I do not want to say the word come. That is the one and only time you will hear it. We are using climax from now on. Their relationship developed over 6 to 8 weeks. Again, it's some fucking sites said 6 weeks, some others said 8 weeks, and I'm like, eh. It was definitely between August and October, so it's somewhere in the range of 6 to 8 weeks.
Right.
Through email, obviously, and that accumulated in about 900 emails between the two of them. Sorry, no, not 900 emails. Excuse me. No, 900 pages of emails.
What?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They were writing a whole damn book about their sexual fantasies in those emails.
Oh my God.
And do you think I could find one of them? Not even one. I was so upset. So fucking upset.
I want to read it.
It's look, it's none of my business. I know it's not. But I'm covering this case and I want to know.
Business.
I want to know the disgusting things that they said.
Like
I need to know.
Once it exists in any way or shape or form on the internet, it becomes people's business. So therefore.
True. See, now if this happened like 10 years later, it would be my business and I'd have all of those emails. But unfortunately, it was 96.
Fucking 1996.
I know. So after the 6 to 8 week period of getting to know each other, they finally decided to meet so that they could fulfill their sexual fantasies. October 13th, 96, Sharon tells Victor, you know, her husband, that she still is married to.
Poor Vic, like.
Poor Victor. Honestly. And he just, not that I have that much information on him, but he sounds like a nice man.
Give him full size
poor Victor.
Fucking chocolate bars. Because she didn't work, I don't think, didn't she not? Properly.
So, no, apart from the internet schemes, but no, she didn't
so it's
work.
It's all out of his pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Generous man.
She tells him that she's going to meet some friends in Georgia, but actually she was getting a train for 11 hours up to meet Robert, who picked her up at the train station, and they drove 80 miles together to his home in Lenore, North Carolina.
Do you think that'd be a bit weird, like the two of them sitting in the car knowing that
definitely
you're gonna murder me, you're my murderer.
And the fact that they've only spoke for 6 weeks on the internet, I don't even know if they would have exchanged pictures to know what each of them actually looked like.
Like, what if one of them was just trying to don't want you to be the one that kills me.
Yeah. That's what I think it would feel like if I'm going to be murdered. I want it to be some Adonis that puts me
Greek
in the ground.
God. So then I'm
like
it was
not
deserved.
Robert Glass. Sorry, again, no tea, no shade. Actually, no, all tea, all shade.
Murderer.
Fucking. Exactly. He, yeah, not a sexy boy. He just wasn't. I mean, he's 45 with like double dad bod. It's just,
and the fact that he said his username was like Slow Hands.
Slow Hands.
By that, I'm,
and Toy Man.
I feel like they're very small, weirdly soft that nobody wants. Yeah. So he's been in a bath too long.
And clammy. Clammy. Yeah. Always clammy. Yeah. So yeah, I kind of, it must have been awkward. You're meeting someone off of the internet for the first time. Like, I've only done it once or twice in my whole life. Apart from like dating websites and meeting them, that's awkward as fuck as well. But meeting the guy that you've never met before in real life, knowing that he's going to have weird sex with you and then murder you. And when I say weird, again, no judgment. I'm only judging these two in particular. Anyone else, you can do what you like, just don't die. But it just, the whole situation is weird. It can't have been comfortable. It can't have been a comfortable car ride home.
Do you reckon she was waiting outside in the car pull up and she was doing the awkward like slant and pointing like, is that, are you for me? Like,
Is that me?
Are you going to like take my head off? Like,
what? Slow Hand? Like, that you?
What?
It's me, Nancy.
Yeah. Like, right, come on in.
Sharon was alive with Robert for 3 days, but no one really knows what the fuck happened for those 3 days. It's just, I think the judge put a gag order on everyone who knew anything about the case.
Right.
So I think anyone that would have known then the in and out. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm pretty sure Robert admitted to everything afterwards, but like, we just don't know. We don't know what
actually
fully in detail went down, which is deeply annoying.
Please, I feel robbed.
So about a week goes by after she went to Georgia to see her friends, and Victor hadn't heard anything from Sharon. And then he finds a letter from her to him that she had written before she left and left in the house. She was leaving him, it said, and not to go after her killer. And I quote, "If my body is never retrieved, don't worry. Know that I'm at peace."
Right, Sharon, I'm not being funny, love. Yeah? If you never truly wanted to be found, just don't tell him that you went off with a murderer to be killed to say I've ran off with someone new. You'll never be found.
I don't know. I'd love to know the full contents of the letter. I really would. But again, we don't have that either. I just have certain snippets of it. He's like, "What the fuck? I thought you went to Georgia to see your friends. What the fuck is going on?" So he does what any man would do and what Sherry did, and he goes to the computer to find out what the tea actually is. And that's where he finds all of the emails between her and Clammy Slowhands is obviously shooketh to his core. So he goes to the police station on October 20th. So literally 7 days after she left. So a full week. And he gave the emails and the letter to the police and reports Sharon missing as a missing person. Yeah. The police then start a stakeout at Robert's on the 22nd of October while they were waiting for a warrant. And they were hoping to see if there was like any sign that Sharon was alive. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't, because if she was alive for 3 days after she got there on the 13th. By the time they get there, she's already been dead for six days. So yeah, they're not finding her alive is my point. So on the 25th of October, they finally got the warrant and they could go into the house. So they went in while Robert was at work.
Right.
And they go in and they find some of Sharon's personal belongings, but no sign of her. So they're like, okay, she was definitely here. So something sus
has gone on.
They go in. The gaff is absolutely fucking filthy. Disgusting. There's trash everywhere. Dirty dishes. Yeah. Just dirt on all the surfaces. Dirt on all the floors. Horrible. And neighbors said that like it was after Sherry left that he just completely stopped taking care of the house at all. So that's been going on since the wife left. So it's a couple of months of accumulating dirt. Yeah. Along with, you know, filth and Sharon's possessions, they find bondage gear, a gun, drugs, and a ton of child porn.
I was going to sound as... I can't speak now because I'm in shock. I was going to say, oh, that just sounds like a fun Saturday night out. And then you mentioned the child porn and I wanted to get sick.
Yeah, you removed the child porn and this is a fairly, like, okay, average story. And then you just add that child porn in and you're like, he had three children. I don't like this. So then they go outside. And about 70 foot from the trailer, they find... Oh, yeah, sorry. I say house. He lived in a caravan. He lived in a trailer, not a house.
Right, so by trailer, do you mean like...
Trailer,
right,
trash.
So not like that kind not of our version of a caravan.
No, yeah, no.
Like a mobile home.
The decent version of a... Yeah, like a mobile home. Like much better than like the bed folds out as a dining table slash toilet. like probably a decent size, you know. But he lives in a trailer park. I should have probably mentioned that before. But yeah, so about 70 foot from the entrance of the trailer, they find fresh turned earth. So they know. They're like, okay, something's been buried there. And they start digging. And 2.5 feet down, 2.5 feet. Not even the 6 foot, 2.5 feet down. They find Sharon's knee.
A knee?
It's not disembodied or anything. It's just the first thing they hit.
Did he bury her arse with? It's like, just a leg.
Yeah. That's why, like, did he have it? Oh, wait, no, there's a reason. I know why they find her knee first. Never mind, I'm getting there. Dumb bitch, I forgot my own research. So, yeah, they call through to the officers that are watching Robert at work. And they're like, we got a knee. Go arrest him. Mm-hmm. So he, like, when he's getting arrested, he just doesn't even say anything.
So he knows he's been caught wrong.
He doesn't argue. Like, he's just, yeah, he knows full well what he's been arrested for. When they get him into custody, then he says for the 3 days, they acted out their sexual fantasies on each other. And Sharon consented to being bound with rope. And he used various household items to penetrate her with. Aww. All she wanted it, apparently. It was all consensual.
I'm not being funny. I'm sure she probably changed her mind in that at some point.
Quite possibly.
Like, I can't imagine.
I feel like she would have had to, but unless she was really in it that deep that she was like, yes, this is the degradation and murder that I was hoping for.
I just know, Sharon. Like,
look, I don't know. No. And we'll never know, unfortunately. But he then put, debate again. It was some of it, it said it was a pair of pantyhose and another said that it was a rope. But then in the coroner's report, it said there was no markings on her neck. So I feel like that would be more consistent with pantyhose than a rope, because a rope would definitely leave abrasions. Yeah. But like nylon is a lot softer, so it might not. It would just cut off your air supply. I think. I don't know. I've never been choked with either, thankfully. So I don't know for sure. But that's how I feel. So I feel like the pantyhose is the way to go. It's the right one. So he tied those around her neck during sex and he pulled it tighter as she climaxed. But then in the throes of passion, he accidentally strangled her to death. It's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm. Is it really accidental if that's what she approached?
If you planned it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is the problem. That was the problem in court. It was the problem with the police. No one really knew how the fuck to deal with this case. But he said, I don't know how much I pulled the rope. I never wanted to kill her, but she ended up dead. And the autopsy, like I said, it confirmed cause of death was asphyxiation. But there was inconclusive evidence of other sexual torture. So it's like, it seems like she was kind of tortured, but not really.
Right.
And this is where I'm like, I am not happy for her, because if her whole deal was that she wanted to go there and be tortured to death, she didn't get what she wanted. She's just dead now and she didn't even get what she actually wanted out of it. So I feel like that's like she's been slighted. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
That's true.
So yeah, that's a bit shit. So yeah, obviously all of this shit starts coming out and people are calling for censorship of the internet to stop things like this happening in the future. And then other people, like anti-censorship groups, are like, no, it's a useful tool. Blah, blah, blah. And as we can tell, this stuff is still going on. But I'm pretty sure that's when the dark web was developed, so that it's not that easy to find it anymore. Because I feel like the dark web didn't exist in 96. It didn't need to. The whole web was the dark web. You know what I mean?
It was all a pit.
So, nobody knew that this shit needed to be like encrypted. And now it is. And that's how I feel about it. So there was some debate about whether Robert actually should be charged with first degree murder or not, because how do you deal with a situation where you've basically assisted suicide rather than actually murdered somebody? And where, like, it was very obvious from the 900 pages of emails that this is what Sharon wanted. So it's also a problem that 250 deaths a year occur relating to autoerotic asphyxiation in the US. 250 people die from wanting to be choked till they get their rocks off.
Like a famous
I find that crazy.
Didn't he have a kink for that?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, obviously didn't mean to die, but then he was found like hanging in his closet, like cranking one out.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he had like something tied around his neck and then tied around the pole. Or was it a light fixture?
No, I think it was
maybe
a pole. Like, it was like in a closet, like in a clothes rail.
Yeah. I feel like this is the thing. Most of the deaths that have occurred occur from solo play rather than partner
accidental
play with being choked. Because you're going to pass out before you die. which is another thing that I'm like, you sure, Rob? But whatever. Like, if it's like hand choking, manual choking, you're going to pass out before you die. So they'll know to stop when they're like, oh shit, she's going blue. So it's definitely safer to do it with a partner. Just do it safely. I know a whole bunch of you are into it. I know you are. So am I. Just be safe. Just like look it up. Understand how to do it safely so that you don't end up part of the 250 people that are caught
dead
hanging in their fucking closet with their pants around their ankles. It's just not how you want to go out. It's just not. Moving on with the story. Charges were dropped to voluntary. Oh, I didn't say that actually. I kind of just glossed over that part. When I said he bound her wrists and ankles, she was basically hogtied. That's why they found her knees first. She was still buried the way she was tied up. Yeah, so she must have been on her back then in the very, very shallow grave. And they would have found her knees first because they still would have been bent.
Right.
So, yeah. Again, that's about as much information as I could find on, like, the state of her body when it was found. But just that she was still tied up. And the rope / pantyhose, depending on what article you read, were still wrapped around her neck as well. Yeah, the charges were dropped from first degree murder to voluntary manslaughter. And the case went on for 3 years because there was so much debate about the grey area as to whether it was actually murder or not. So on January 27th, 2000, Rob pled guilty to voluntary manslaughter and 6 counts of second degree sexual exploitation of a minor. Dirty.
Dirty man.
And he was sentenced to 36 to 53 months in prison for Sharon and 21 to 26 months for child porn, which is not long enough, but whatever.
No, it's not at all.
Because karma. We love karma. Karma is just, oh, I love karma so much. February 20th, 2002, 2 weeks before he was meant to be released from prison, boom, Robert drops dead of a fucking heart attack.
Yes.
Man was never meant to be released. No, thank you. So, absolutely delighted with that. But then, yeah, it's really sad after that. Is Sharon's parents were even more ashamed of her after all of this. And they never backed down. And it even got to a point where they would deny that she was even their daughter. Yeah, because of the shame that she brought on the family. And I'm like, luckily, yeah, she was a bit of a... And I hate using the word sexual deviant because it just means you don't do normal vanilla missionary sex that's boring.
No, but I feel like it's valid because, like, she's looking up necrophilia. She has passed that line. She
yeah,
is
that's
deviant.
That's definite deviancy. But, like, you know, they didn't know that part of it. They didn't know the necrophilia part of it. They just knew that there was, like... It was because the media leaned really heavily on, like, sex and drugs and child porn.
Well, yeah, no wonder then.
That wasn't really her fault.
Being brought into it.
Yeah, but that wasn't her fault. She didn't know. Well, I'd like to think she didn't
know. I'm not being funny.
We don't know.
She's into necrophilia.
And we won't know. We are not going there to think that she was enjoying watching his collection with him before she died.
Look.
In that case, she deserved not to get what she wanted if that was what happened, honestly. Yeah, so that has long since sparked a debate, and now I think it is, because it is illegal in anywhere except for, like, Geneva for assisted suicide, I think that's how it's looked at now. Because they see it that anyone who wants to be, like, voluntarily murdered is mentally ill and therefore isn't in their right mind to consent to anything. So it's still, you can't get away with murdering someone even if they ask for it, basically.
So not to give anyone any bright ideas.
Yeah. But yeah, in no way am I saying that the, you know, regular BDSM community or anyone who's into a bit of light choking and all of that stuff, there's nothing wrong with you.
No.
We're not saying that you're pedos. We're not saying that you're, like, weird sexual deviants and up to shenanigans like old Sharon and Robert were. It's just these two particular fucking weirdos.
They were.
But that does not set the standard for anyone else in that community, and I'm not trying to claim it does. So that is the wild story of Sharon Lopatka and how she wasn't technically tortured to death after 6 weeks of asking for it.
See, when you ask a man to do something for you,
they just can't do it right, can they? Can't even murder me properly, for fuck's sake. You had one job, Robert.
My God. That was a good one though.
It's real interesting.
Can definitely say I was shocked. Can definitely say that. Mm.
Like, if you remove the child porn from it, you might actually have a bit of sympathy for him. But since he was a big old pedo,
don't get nouns of it.
Bad guy. And also, fuck you for telling your wife of 14 years that you just weren't attracted to her anymore just because you have some weird shit that you couldn't tell her, like, hey, I'm into this, can we give it a go?
Yeah.
I mean, not the murder part, like, but like,
any
you know.
Any of the other bits, like, trust her enough to, like, confide in her, and you never know, she might enjoy it as well. But that wasn't the case.
Most women are kinkier than you think. So.
Just ask.
That's my claim. I'm standing by it.
So. You'll never know if you don't ask.
Exactly. Honesty, guys. Honesty is the main part of a relationship. Yeah. So now we have even more fun.
Ooh, what a bit of cannibalism. We're excited.
Mm-hmm. Before we get into this, I would like to play a snippet of a song that I'm really hoping we don't get sued for.
We have no money for people to sue us, so let
them
try.
I really feel like Till would just appreciate the fact that we put this song into our podcast while we're talking about this particular story that it's about. So yeah, we have a song based on this story that I would like to play a small snippet of. It's by Rammstein and it is called Mein Teil, which means my part. And I'll translate after I play it.
Heute treff ich einen Herrn, der hat mich zum Fressen gern. Weiche Teile und auch harte stehen auf der Speisekarte.
That is, without giving away too much of the story, that's why we chose the first verse of this ridiculously long song, actually. It is, today I will meet a gentleman. He likes me so much he could eat me up. Soft parts, and even hard ones, eyebrows, eyebrows, are on the menu. And then, yeah, you are what you eat, you know what it is, this is my part, no. It's just a little translation there because, you know, Rammstein is German and most people won't know what the fuck they're saying. But that is about this exact story that Lizzie is about to tell you, and I surely hope you enjoy it as much as that very angry rock song at the beginning.
Frighten the life out of me, I won't lie. When your man started doing that.
Yeah, it's like, it's so much heavier than most of their other music. You just don't expect it.
Well, given the topic, I can understand.
Yeah. It's not a good song either. I've no way claiming that it is. I like most of Rammstein's music, but that is one of their worst songs. It's just I love the topic. So.
Well, speaking on that, this is going to be the story of Armin Muse and Bernd Brandes. So once upon a time, a dreary computer technician and a lonely engineer shared a beautiful dream. Armin Muse dreamed of killing and eating someone, while Bernard Brandes dreamed of being killed and eaten by someone.
It's just a match made in heaven.
By all accounts, match made in
heaven. It really is. They're just...
If you ask me.
It's the star-crossed lovers of Sharon and Robert all over again. They're just meant to be together.
Goals. Absolute goals. So in March 2001, Armin posted an ad on a cannibalism chat line. And yes, they are very much still a thing. And that exact chat forum is still a thing. So do with that what you will.
We'll gloss over it, I think, is what we're going to do. We're just going to pretend that's not a thing.
Does nobody don't go on it? Like, look, all for doing what you want, but...
Yeah, cannibalism is a bit out of the range of normalcy and we don't support that here. You know? We just don't.
We're all for, like, a lot of things, but not that. So Armin stated that he was looking for a well-built young man aged between 18 to 25 who wanted to be... And now, initially, he got a good few offers, but it seems like people were just, like, trolling. So just taking the piss, like, oh, yeah, you can take a bite out of me. Do you know what I mean? Like, people just being a tiny bit kinky and be like, ha-ha-ha, yeah, play along. But then when they realised he was completely serious, they quickly backed down. And I can't say I blame them.
No, I feel like that'd be very much the same in that situation.
And then he would get one serious offer. And that would be Bernd Brandes, an engineer from Berlin. And Brandes told Armin he had as much want to be in as Armin wanted to eat someone. So the pair would text back and forth until a date was set on March 9th. So, 8 days? No. Yeah, in around 8 days.
Around 7 days.
They were chatting.
That's even faster. Like, just like, you're the man to eat me. That's a little...
And to come up with a date then and everything, like a fully formed plan of like what was about to go down.
It's not just we'll meet up, have a few drinks and see what happens. It's like, right, so you're coming over to be my dinner on the 8th of March.
Sounds delicious. Draw me a bath. Like,
yep.
No. Calm down.
Draw me a bath. I mean, you want to make sure your meat is clean, I suppose.
Yeah. Good practice.
Mm.
Food safety.
Yeah, at least, exactly. At least the food hygiene board can't complain about anything he did there.
Oh, actually, they might have had one complaint. They might, not even just the cannibalism, but there was one. We'll get to it. So, on March 9th, Brandes would travel to Armin's house in the small town of Wusterfeld. And once inside, Brandes took a fistful of sleeping pills that he washed down with a bottle of schnapps. And he lay down in Armin's bathtub.
Just the Germans love their schnapps. They really
what
do.
Is like, with them?
They fucking love schnapps. And the fact that schnapps is involved in this story is my favourite thing. Oh, amazing. Okay.
So Brandes initially insisted that Armin should bite his penis off. But it didn't work because I think it was a lot like girthier than Armin had anticipated. So it wasn't happening. Armin then began to sever Brandes' penis, and this whole, like, act was filmed, and the footage lasts for 4 hours.
Of just the penis being cut off?
No, him trying to bite the penis off, and then him taking the scissors, and then, like, your man just lying, like, bleeding out in the bathtub, all that crack. Right?
Right, filmed okay.
4 hours
okay.
long.
I thought, because I was like, if you're chopping someone's dick off for 4 hours, like, that is a lot.
You'd die by then.
You would. Sure. You'd have to.
So Armin then served up Brandes' penis for the two of them to eat. Raw. So I feel like this is where the health code violation would come in. Raw meat, no.
Well, because it hasn't been like on a farm and then packaged in a dirty meat factory. You know, it's
kind
of like...
We don't know where this man's dick has been. We don't know how clean that little cottage was.
True, but it's not going to have like the bacteria in it of like, you know, like raw chicken where you get salmonella. You know, it's like some countries do eat like raw chicken, like they'll kill the chicken and eat it still while it's warm raw.
Yeah, but
and then that's okay because it's not.
I still don't feel like it's the cleanliest. Can you think he did this on a clean surface? He hacked this off in a man's dirty, probably lime riddled bathtub.
That's true. And he used like a scissors to stop. Yeah. Okay, fair. Yeah, health code violation. We'll mark it.
But Brandes actually couldn't eat it at first because he said it was too chewy, so it needed frying up. So Armin then fried up Brandes' penis for them both to share. Ugh. And it was seasoned with a bit of salt, a bit of garlic, wine, and classic garlic. But it still wasn't right. So he refried the penis in a bit of Brandes' fat, but obviously didn't take into the consideration that fat actually burns at quite a high temperature. Yep. And he burnt the bollocks out of the penis, basically.
Oh, no.
Leaving it inedible. But instead of wasting it, he gave it to the dog. And he had a lovely dinner.
Well, I suppose at least someone had a nice meal.
You know.
Bit of red wine. The dog's having a lovely evening.
Sautéed.
A little bit of human calamari.
And I still have issue with the fact that Brandes was like, I can't eat this because it's too chewy. I doubt that's the only reason why you can and shouldn't.
I feel like the mental block of, hey, this is my own penis, might have been more of a reason. Brandes, come on then.
Calm it. So Armin then ran Brandes a bath before going to read Star Trek because he was an avid fan and this had to be done. Had to be done. And he gets worse. A lot more
embarrassing. This is so bizarre.
He would check on Brandes every 15 minutes just to make sure he hasn't, you know, died. But after a while of like drifting in and out, losing consciousness and then waking back up, Armin just decided, look, enough is enough now. I'm going to Mercy Killer. And he stabbed him in the throat with the same thing he cut the peen off with. So he later hung the body up on a main
consistency.
Hook.
Consistency.
Yeah. He's keeping himself in check. We have to appreciate.
Yeah.
So he later hung the body up. The body? Well, he was his buddy, I suppose. But the body.
When you eat dicks together, that's a bond for life.
Exactly. Cannot be broken.
Granted, it was like broken two more hours of life.
Yeah.
Broken dick.
So he hung the body on a meat hook to speed up rigor mortis and make the meat more tender. And Armin then cut up the corpse and would feast on the flesh for a course of 10 months. And he stored bits of flesh in the freezer and in pizza boxes, which I don't know why the pizza boxes is the most fucking bizarre thing. Like, imagine you had a guest over, like, oh, you nip into the freezer and just take out that for dinner. Like, oh, lad, a bit of pizza reheated. And it's just a bit of Irish steak.
Yeah. I feel like, have you not got a bit of Tupperware or something? Like,
a pizza
you planned
box.
This. You planned like, it, Armin. Get the supplies in.
I know you gave yourself a week, but I feel like a week is still enough time to get the shit done.
Exactly. It takes an hour max to go do a bit of grocery shopping.
Yeah. Head down to your local Netto or wherever the fuck you had.
They definitely would have had a Netto. They definitely had a Netto. Like, if they didn't have a Netto, they had a Penny or a Norma or an Etika. You could have gone to any one of them. Especially Etika. Etika would have had all sorts of fancy things for you. All of the fancy Tupperwares. Just go there.
Neglectful as well he was.
And let me tell you, another thing the Germans love is fucking Tupperware. They're obsessed with it. Obsessed. So I don't understand why he didn't have any.
Tupperware, but he had the schnapps, so you have to give him that.
Yeah, he had the schnapps. He was...
prepared,
we'll give it to him, I suppose.
And it's thought that he actually consumed roughly 44 pounds of flesh in that 10-month period. That's a lot.
Imagine the meat sweats.
Oh my God, like... he'd be rolling, like...
Honest God.
Like, do you ever even have like a thick juicy steak and after that you're like, Jesus, lads, I'm fucking sweating. And you can't.
Honestly.
Can you imagine that?
You can't.
44 pounds of man meat.
I mean, look, it's nice to know that one human can sustain you for that amount of time. And to know what that means, we don't need all the beef farms that we have. Hashtag save the world. But I'm not saying we eat people. That's not what I mean. But I mean, like, one cow could then do you probably the length, twice the amount of time that one human could.
I mean, that's a fair assumption. That's a fair assumption.
I'm just putting it out there. Just putting it out there.
We'll have to do some research and maybe some experiments. Look, not saying that I'll be the one that eats a body. We'll make Quiva do that.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I feel like that's a Quiva job.
It's a project for 2021. I'm sure she'll be up for it.
We won't even consult her. We'll just send her a person in the mail
and
at
she'll
some
be like,
point.
Juicy steak. And we're like, man, tie me. She will know no different.
No.
So, when Armin ran out of Brandt's flesh, he went on the same chat forum that he initially found him on, looking for a new victim. But this time, there were no serious offers. Only people looking to participate in roleplay, so very similar to yours. Like the idea of being like, haha, yeah, daddy, eat me. But like, not actually eating.
Yeah, they just want like, eat ass, not me.
Exactly. Exactly. But this like really fucked Armin off. He was like, why is nobody taking me seriously? But why would they? And then
exactly.
He started bragging about what he had done to Brandis. It's like, oh yeah, I cut off his penis. I've been eating him for the last 10 months. And thankfully, one person on that chat forum took him seriously and contacted the
police.
Only
one?
Only one person. But all it takes is one. Like, there's always one weirdo. There's
That's
always
true.
One saviour. They have to counterbalance.
Yep.
Otherwise we'd be
that
in disarray.
One hero that was nosy enough to get shit done.
Mm-hmm.
Go you.
Exactly. So on the 10th of December 2002, his home would be swarmed by federal police and he was arrested. So this got big enough, like not even just for your normal standard fucking local police. Federal fucking German police rocking up
the
to your door.
The feds got in like, ooh.
So.
I would shit myself.
And his neighbours, like the same in your story, they were totally in shock. They said Armin was a kind, sociable guy, somebody that you'd often grab and share a beer with. Couldn't get any nicer. But Armin said he was anything but. He considered himself to be quite a loner. He never really fitted in, and he had an obsession with reading serial killer biographies. And he was really obsessed with Daffy Duck.
That one's weirder than the serial killer.
The serial killer, I can understand. It's the Daffy Duck.
Yeah.
Like, all for a bit of Looney Tunes, but...
like, you had to be...
Daffy Duck and Schnapp.
With Daffy Duck.
Like, it's... what?
Daffy Duck, Star Trek, and a bit of Peach Schnapps. Sorted.
Where am I? Oh, yeah. So he said, even as a child, he didn't have many friends. And this is when he was in high school, his sexual desire to participate in cannibalism began, confessing that he used to fantasize about killing and eating his fellow classmates. So he'd just be sitting there in, I don't know, fucking maths, or we'll say biology for the lols. Bit of home ec.
Bit of home ec, yeah.
And he's thinking, right, you're one next to me. Would go lovely in a bit of lasagna, but horny while he was doing it, so it's weird.
Looking over at Goethe and just be like, I bet she'd be lovely with a bit of lemon pepper seasoning.
Fucking tasting it out as he's thinking. Now, he was
imagine that.
He was abandoned by his father, and his mother was a very domineering force, and she'd often humiliate him in public. So people are like, okay, this is just a recipe for fucking disaster. Like, daddy issues, mommy issues, and now he has this weird disconnect in his brain where he's putting food, people, and his sexual orientation, like, all in one.
Man has
lost the round of himself.
Cannot differentiate between having a boner and being hungry.
No. Like, hangry's a thing, but not... what would you even call horny and hungry?
Horngry?
Does that even sound... I can't...
I think it's the only way it works.
Horngry. I can't say that right, though, because of the way I speak. Horngry.
Horngry.
Horngry. I don't like it.
It's fine. It's the only one we can go with, because the others don't work.
They don't. Now, psychologists said he's not actually mentally disturbed, but sexually confused and emotionally unable to organise relationships in his head, and consuming human flesh was the ultimate intimate act. So that's where the disconnect came.
I mean, that is technically true.
Mm-hmm. I can't argue against it.
Like, any more inside of a person than their stomach.
Yeah.
So...
I can't disagree.
Again, not endorsing it, but can't disagree.
No. And do you know what I find absolutely mental? Cannibalism isn't actually illegal in Germany. So I feel like you need to
Wasn't. It is now.
It is now. Because I was like...
because of him.
You need to sort this out. So...
I had a feeling that would come up today and I was like, I'm ready for it. No, yeah, it wasn't, which is wild. But like, it's like, it's something that I... feel like they just never thought they would have to make it illegal.
Yeah, I feel like
you should just know not to eat people.
Have the cop on.
Exactly. But yeah, no, it is illegal now. It is in fact illegal.
Thank Christ. Because at the time, he faced charge of murder for sexual satisfaction and not for cannibalism. And his lawyer argued that he should be given 5 years for euthanasia and not 15 for murder, because Brandis wanted to die. And that 4-hour video that they took, that was never taken seriously in court. Like, they never reviewed it properly. It was not taken into consideration properly. Whatsoever.
Why? It's a literal recorded document of exactly what happened play by play.
Yeah. Mental.
Maybe they just didn't want to see it, and that's why they wouldn't admit it into court properly.
There has to be some fucking reason, because my God.
Yeah. I mean, not a good enough excuse, but it's the only one I can think of.
But on the 30th of January 2004, Armin was convicted of manslaughter and sentenced 8 years and 6 months in prison. And websites in his honour started popping up with people advertising for willing victims. So literally fangirling over him looking to like replicate what he had done. But Armin was not all for it. He was hoping that he could release a memoir in hopes that people would read it and be put off by what he had done, reflect on their own lives and be like, that was mental. I'm never going to ever do that. I need to get help. But, you know.
I mean.
He had all well intentions, but I don't think he could ever fully trust what the man was saying. But he also is very much of the opinion that he thinks there are as little as 800 cannibals actively in Germany at the moment.
If I ever disappear, you know why.
Cannibal.
Although I don't know, I have tattoos and as...
tainted mate.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, Dahmer. Yeah, Dahmer said it, that
it changed tattoos, the taste.
Meat is just not nice. And I'm covered in tattoos and I'm chunky, so I'll just burn away. There's very little meat on me. It's just fat. So not a prime target for a cannibal, thank God.
So in April 2005, a German court ordered a retrial and prosecutors appealed Armin's sentence because they believed the sentence was, one, too light. His psychologist himself said he thinks Armin had the potential to re-offend because he still fantasizes about eating young men. So this is why I think the whole idea of a memoir was fucking ludicrous. And it's a joke, the fact that the 4-hour video was ignored during the initial trial.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
100%. So
I mean, kind of sad the memoir never happened, because would love to read that.
It would be interesting. But at the same time, I feel like it would egg on one of those 800 fucking cannibalisms, like, yeah, little recipes on how to saute like a bit of leg meat, just so it's, mm-hmm, not chewy.
Definitely. 100%.
And on May 10th, 2006, a court in Frankfurt ruled that the original trial ignored the significance of the video in disproving the argument that Armin only killed because he'd been asked to. And Armin was then sentenced to life imprisonment. And he says he's angry at himself for killing Brandes, and he still sees him sometimes, so he's not as lonely, so he can't feel too bad. That made my skin crawl. But ironically, right, he's now a vegetarian.
What?
He's now a vegetarian. Seeing the dead fella in his bathtub. So,
I mean, it would put you off. Like, imagine you had, like, the best hamburger you've ever had in your whole entire life. It was just the most delicious thing. But then the cow that burger came from came back and started haunting you. You'd never eat meat again. You wouldn't.
I wonder, does he talk to him, though? Because he never said. He just says he sees him the whole time. So does he see him, like, before the penis was cut off and he died? Or does he see him, like, when he's dead? I'd love to know.
Hmm.
Do you reckon they can take, like, a prison pen pal? Because I would write to him.
I mean, probably. Probably.
Like, he's probably even been, like, harassed by, like, loads of people, but look.
Yeah, I mean, he's extremely famous. For obvious reasons, because there's been nothing like this case since. Even mine isn't even like this case. They're similar in ways, but, like,
it's the sauteed penis that I can't.
I don't know. I don't know what I don't think they're like America here. I think it's kind of, you know, the prisoners go in and they're in prison. That's kind of
it. Yeah, they don't have the infamy of it. Do you know what the Americans are allowed to run ragged, like in the newspaper, and, like, there's interviews, exactly, there's, like, photo opportunities. It's not at all. It's very closed off.
I don't know. It could be. Yeah, and they might not allow it because censorship is illegal in Germany. So if there's anything, then, you know, the way when prison letters are sent out, if they're saying anything they shouldn't be saying, mm-hmm, they block it out.
Yeah.
That is censorship. So that wouldn't be allowed to happen. Right. So then they might just not allow prisoners to send letters at all. I don't know. I don't have a fucking clue. But based on my knowledge of that,
I mean, it would make,
I feel like that
sense,
might be the case.
But do you know what?
I would think so.
As well, I
do you know what? I'll find out and I'll get back to you next week.
Do, because I want...
And let you know if you can write prisoners to Owl Darman. Write prisoner. What?
Stroke.
Letters. If you can write letters to... I'll find out if you can write letters to him, if he's still going. Because he's serving, did you say he's serving a life sentence now?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, since the second trial.
And I think he was up north. I feel like he's up north.
Yeah, well, the trial was in Frankfurt, like the new one. So I'm imagining he'd be imprisoned.
Yeah, that's quite northern, so.
Look, let me know.
Compared to where I am, like, it's more middle ground, but, like, to me, it's the north. I'll let you know.
Because I'd love to just, like... One, ask him, like, the ratio of the salt, the pepper, the wine, and how he, honest to God, thought that going reading Star Trek for fucking 15 minutes of a time,
yeah,
was, like, a good idea while he had someone bleeding out in his bathtub. Then to just stab him in the throat.
They didn't have Netflix, did they?
No,
no Netflix in 2000. I mean, yeah, like, he could have ordered himself an old DVD, gone to... I don't know if Germany had, like, Blockbuster or HMV or something.
Like, when I'm cooking, like, and in between cooking, I do watch stuff. So I actually don't know what, I understand it. Because he's not a professional chef. Why am I expecting him to take this seriously?
Exactly. And first time preparing man flesh.
Mm-hmm. Man flesh.
Oh, this whole episode is a mess.
It is. But guess what?
But yeah.
2020 was a mess. We're going into 2021.
Exactly.
Messy, in hopes that it will be somewhat decent. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, exactly. It's did you expect us to change in the space of a week?
This just new it's year, new year. Year bullshit.
Mm-mm. Not happening.
Never us, will never be us.
Not about that life.
No.
sorry about you. What do you think about it? Do you think he deserved a life sentence for it?
If, given the possibility that his psychologist thinks that he has the potential cases about eating young lads, then yeah. Just in case, like, you get somebody then that, like, got in way over their head. Even though that's what happened to exactly poor Brandis, like, I know that's what he wanted. I don't feel like... I don't think he should be let out, because then he is kind of an endangerment to other people, including himself. Like, he's... Your body does carry bacteria. That's why, like, you're not actually meant to eat people as well. Like, we are riddled with dirty fucking bacteria. So he's either going to make himself sick and die.
Yeah.
Or murder other people. So I think for his own safety, lock him the shit away. But I've seen this thing where as well, like, German prisons are, like, they're nice.
Yeah, they're quite gushy from what I've heard.
Like, I'm not saying he deserves to be thrown in, like, a dark hole, no light, to fucking... get rickets somewhere down the line because he's no vitamin D. Like, no.
Rickets.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like he might be more of a like an Ed Gein. Like, he's an asylum case rather than a prison case.
I feel like...
I mean, some prison time for the fact that he did, in fact, murder and eat a person. But I don't know if I agree with the life sentence. I don't think he should be out in the world either. Like, but I just don't think I agree with the life sentence.
Are mental institutions now, they're going to be a lot more walkabout free than a prison would be. So maybe that's why.
That is true.
Because if you're in a normal day room with like a load of people.
Yeah.
You could just turn around. Not saying that he'd pull a Hannibal Lecter and just run and like bite the face off someone. Not saying that. But he could. It has the potential, clearly.
What if, like, Brandis started chatting to him? He was like, hey, you remember how nice I used to taste?
He looks like
that
delicious.
Guy's tasty too.
Take a bite.
Fucking prime rib.
Baby back ribs.
Chomp, chomp. Go. I should not be getting hungry while we're talking about a cannibal episode. Don't do that to me.
I'd actually love for a bit of ribs.
Oh, ribs.
No, I'm sorry. No, because I can actually feel my stomach. It's about to grumble. No.
Staring into the distance, fantasizing about ribs.
You're not becoming these people.
Yep. This is where we accidentally confuse ourselves into becoming cannibals. I'm like, we just wanted some beef, but now it's person. I don't know how
this
happened.
We've lost our minds.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't. It's hard. It's a tough one because, like you said, you can't have him out in the world, but at the same time, I don't think he should be held in the same regard as somebody who killed an unwilling person in that way. Like, you know, like a serial killer who just goes out, picks a victim based on his own fucking sexual desires and kills them when that person obviously had no intentions of dying. But Brandis did. And if I'm right, I don't think you mentioned it, but I had heard about that story that he had somebody else who came over willing to be eaten previously before Brandis. And he was kind of like on the table and everything, ready to go. But then the guy chickened out and Armin let him go.
I didn't say anything about that, but I'm not saying you're wrong.
You didn't come across it. I had heard it. I don't remember. It might have been me. Maybe Bailey Sarian. It might have been her in her video. Not sure though. Because it's a while back since I kind of looked into that story. But I did hear that he let the first person go because they weren't into it. And if they weren't into it, it wasn't what he wanted. He wanted a willing victim. Because he could have just taken somebody and eaten them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But maybe that's the thing they could have been afraid of, though. That because he was still fantasizing about it and like, well, what about it? If he wasn't getting what he wanted then? Would his desire overpower, like, I suppose his conscience, in a way? Because like, he knew what he was doing was wrong, but I suppose he could normalise it to himself if he tried to say, okay, well, they're willing for it to happen to them, so it's okay. But what if his desire ever get
That's
too strong?
True.
Like, it's all hypothetical.
I feel like, you know, the screaming, they'd be fighting, he'd have to tie them down. And then as well, stress makes meat very tough. So I feel like that's why the willing victim might have been important to him, because then they're not stressed while they're dying. They're okay with it. It's as okay as you can be with dying.
Maybe, but then that would have to imply...
Again, this is all just speculation.
Yeah, that he knew like how stressed out and how tough the meat would get. Do you know what I mean? Like human meat.
Well, I feel like if you know, like, you know that about animals, so I'd imagine it's the same.
Yeah, but do you really think he thought?
Wait, it's not that I've ever cannibalized a person to know that. It's
like
just...
I feel like because he was prepared with the meaty hook, he'd be like, right, this'll do. Like, you can't, like, I know your man was willing to die, but you can't tell me he said at the end of the day as he was dying he wasn't, like, a little bit stressed. Because I fucking, like, would imagine you would have to be at some point. Like, there would have to be at least one second.
Yeah. That's true. And then he did, like, take a load of sleeping tablets to make himself, like, chill
and
out.
And delirious. So
he could, like, just drug them. He could have just drugged them. Yeah.
It's a messy
it
one.
It could go either way.
It's a messy
way. Really
one, I think, to be honest.
It's really hard to see, like, should he have been let out? Could he have not reoffended because he didn't have a willing victim? Or would he have progressed to a point where he no longer cared if they were willing?
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, he's vegetarian now.
But is that by choice? I don't know.
The prison were just like, no meat for you, weirdo.
Time out. You've been bold.
Yeah. It's kind of fucked
up. Or could
up.
Have been like, do you remember like what happened to Jeffrey Dahmer? Like he... No, do you? Like he ate bits of people, and when he was in prison, he'd get like the little hot dogs and pretend to dance with them, like pretending they were people, and that he'd eat them to freak out the other prisoners. So, like, because that mess had happened, because he got murdered for that. Do you reckon they were like, right? Okay, see and learn past behavior. Give him lettuce.
And I definitely, I don't feel like German prisons are going to take any shenanigans.
No.
Because as I have said 1,000 times on this podcast, the Germans love their rules. It's just, this is like an educational episode of what Germans love. They love rules, they love schnapps, and they love Tupperware. They're a very specific breed of people.
All the previous stereotypes that you've heard about them before, incorrect. These ones, factual.
Yep. Trust me, you have to move here to realise how just... specific the German people actually are. You really do. They're a whole thing. But I can't decide how I feel about it. I don't think.
I feel like it'd be one of those things we'd actually have to sit down, write down all the pros, all the cons, and like actually have a debate about
the pros and cons of letting them out. Definitely. And then since we can't see into the fucking future, you can't make a decisive so he kind of has to stay in prison, doesn't he?
Just as well, like, given how more accessible the internet is now, and especially to younger people too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know he liked them young, so, but like, if you were anyway a bit, like, out of touch, we'll
say.
And with,
like, how suicidal Gen Z and millennials are, I feel like a lot of us would just be like, yeah, go on.
You're starving, all right.
Better than me doing it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I feel like he'd have way more potential victims. And then, you know, you've like the e-girls that are like, choke me, daddy.
Yeah.
Like,
but I don't think he...
That definitely plays into more my story than yours.
I don't think
same
he
as,
was into
I mean?
Girls anyway. I feel like boys were very much his demographic.
Mm.
But, like, I...
Yeah. Yeah, that seems like it. So he was just... Yeah, he just seemed like a very confused person. Again, not an excuse to eat someone.
And I get it. People have past trauma.
But as we covered a couple of weeks ago, bitch, me too. So this is why I don't accept the excuse of a childhood.
Yeah, you're not a cannibal by any means.
No, I'm actually incredibly environmentally conscious and I try to eat less meat. Though I will never become vegan because that's not the way to go either. But we're not getting into that argument because I'll alienate half of our audience, I'm sure. So no, I do try to eat less meat to be more conscious. So there's no way I could ever actually eat a person. There's just no, I couldn't.
Like desperate times. Like, oh my god, do you remember that episode of The Walking Dead where the cannibals came? And they had eaten or tried to eat one of the fella's legs, but he had been bitten and he started roaring at them, tainted me! And he was pissing himself laughing.
Now see, in that case, that's great. That's where I'd offer myself up.
100%.
Like, I'm going to make some fucking zombies out of my flesh if I'm going down. Definitely. Yeah.
Exactly.
That was a great episode.
Like, in the case of... a zombapoc, I reckon cannibalism, like, obviously it's not the way to go, but look, desperate times, desperate measures. Like, you're not going down to your local fucking co-op and getting a 3-for-10 deal on meat.
Yeah, exactly. Or like the likes of people who like got stuck in Everest and had to eat their friends and shit. Look, we get it. You gotta do what you gotta do to survive.
Your friends are going around Amazon.
Yeah.
The Dolotov Pass.
You know what I mean?
Understood.
Like, if we, me, you and Quiva, no,
Terrifying, but understood.
When me, you and Caoimhe get lost in the wilderness, we both know lady diseases will be the first to die. Because I can't be exposed to the elements. If I get sick in the rain, what am I going to be like in the wilderness for 2 or 3 days?
I've no ankles, so I guarantee you I'm tripping on the way in, rendering myself...
Actually, then we're all dead in that case.
And I feel like Caoimhe
directly challenged us would never find her way back. So Caoimhe gets lost and dies separately. So neither of us would get the opportunity to eat each other. But look, I offer myself up in that situation. If I die first, feel free. I sacrifice myself for your survival.
I'll take the offer.
But that is the only time I think cannibalism is okay.
I'll take the offer. Yeah. If it's like, the other two are like, not killing somebody to then eat them. But if it's a case like they've just died, you're stranded, you're going to die yourself, but you have hope that you will live.
Exactly.
Take a bit of thymine.
And I mean, I can support you for 10 months in the wilderness, I don't see why you shouldn't. Granted, you'd want to...
But we won't have proper refrigeration, so you're probably lasting.
It depends. If we're somewhere snowy, you've got a bit of hope. Or if you, like, buy a salt mine, because then you can salt my meat, like the olden days. You wouldn't get 10 months out of it, but...
Your body locks up in 12 degree redder, right? Where do you think we're going where it's wintery and snowy?
I mean, here.
Right?
If you're ever over here and it's winter, it's like -7. So that's cold enough to keep my meat fresh for a while.
Yeah, we could bury in the snow.
Look, there's ways and means. I'm not saying I'm the ideal candidate for meat. I'm not, okay? Jesus, Lizzie, coming for me in death as well as life. Just saying, in a survival situation, I understand cannibalism. Any other time, I cannot wrap my head around it.
Yeah, no, to be honest.
Have you tried chicken? Chicken is delish.
I can't see... chicken, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, exactly. I can't see human being... that nice. And as you said, we're riddled with bacteria. If a dog bites us, we kind of were fine. We might need an old tetanus if they're a bit rabid or whatever, but that's about the extent of it. If you bite a dog, if a human bites a dog, you'll kill it.
We're filthy.
We're filthy. We're fucking disgusting, like. So there you go. Don't eat people.
We're
coming
just...
with the important messages this week.
Honest to God. We should make our own. Because we've established the cult, right?
Yes.
Do you know the Ten Commandments? We make our own.
Oh, yeah.
Cannibalism being high on that list.
Definitely. Right after always be a hypocrite and don't forget to tense your ankles is don't eat people.
Yeah, exactly. The fourth being stop killing kids. But that's a topic for another time.
Exactly.
As we've discussed on Christmas, which was fucking horrendous, so I'm glad we ruined that for you as well. Forgot to apologise for that at the start.
Listen, we're a true crime podcast. Was it meant to be all fucking reindeers and Christmas cheer? No.
No.
Not from
always
depressed people.
Merriment to murder. Never from us.
Alrighty, I think that about wraps us up for this week. Yours was much shorter than mine, although I think we took the piss out of mine quite a bit more.
Yeah.
And that dragged on for a bit longer. But I hope everyone enjoyed our week of voluntary murder and voluntary cannibalism. Because it's such a wild concept. And there's only really like 3 cases of it that I know of. I don't know if there's been many more. Like 2 voluntary murders and 1 voluntary cannibalism. It's the only ones I found. If anyone knows about more, actually, let me know.
Yeah,
because I can't find them. I tried to find them and I couldn't find them. So if anyone knows... email us c.e.s.poolpod@gmail.com. Please let us know. Please. I'd actually love to find more stories on it because I find
so
it such a niche. Yeah.
It is. Like of all the murder, it is. 100%.
Yeah. Ones where the victims willingly offered themselves up are so rare and so hard to find. So if anyone knows, let me know.
And not even on some weird like sacrificial shit. But
yeah.
Just in general, like,
I want to die, but I can't be arsed it myself. So here you go.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's fascinating. It's grim as shit, but it's fascinating all the same.
I agree.
Because, you know, as is everything on this podcast. Yeah, we hope you enjoyed that. Let us know if you have any more stories you'd like us to talk about as well. We're always saying that. Look, it's a new year. We can hope for the best that someone might actually email us this year.
Exposing ourselves. Lads, come on. Right, I don't ask for a lot, right? Never have. I'm not a greedy person. But just reach out.
Yeah. just give us a shout, like, even just to say hi. We'll give you a shout out on the podcast.
Look, we'll take it because we know what we are. But
yeah, we never claim to be good. We don't claim to be professionals. We're just here, and you're going to deal with that. And like 700 of you are. So
I'm sure us roaring to you like a psychotic ex telling us or telling you to text us is not the way to go. But look,
why don't you ever reach out? You never text first. It's always me.
Just give us a buzz, like.
We just want to hear from you guys. We really do. So give us a shout, please. I've released the email again. I don't know how many more times I have to say it wrong on this podcast
before you
fucking email us.
You can see it, but she's practically begging.
Like, literally, I'm smacking the thighs. I'm getting very passionate about it. So, like, you know I'm serious. So reach out, please. And yeah, with that, I think I'm going to wrap up this episode because we're getting desperate now and that's just sad. So we will be back next week. We have strong suspicions that Quiva could be with us, but let's be honest, we're never sure. So I'm not going to say it for definite.
Oh, you should have fucking asked Psychic Sharon.
Oh,
seance her there, didn't
I can't,
she have...
Lizzie, she's dead.
Use your imagination, Savannah. Conjure up a seance.
Happy New Year to everyone. We know we're a week late, but we needed a break. So,
and so did you, to be fair, because I know we're quite irritating when we want to be. Not even when we want to be. We're always fucking irritating. It's not even by choice.
Oh, yeah. It's not a special effort. It's just who we are. Sorry, not sorry. So, yeah. Happy New Year to everyone. Like I said, we hope you had a magical Christmas, magical New Year, or whatever holiday you celebrate, because not everyone does Christmas. That's fair.
So I feel like we'll say happy holidays then in that case.
Happy holidays, yes. Even though, like, we'll have already said that during the holidays, but alas, everyone does a new year except for the Chinese, and we hope you have a wonderful new year next month.
The Chinese do, so, I was gonna say, wait, is it not next month?
They just don't do it when we do it. But I'm pretty sure we don't have listeners in China, but if we have, like, I don't know, Chinese people listening in like America or Canada, that's possible. So yeah, Happy New Year, whenever it is for everyone. And welcome back to Cesspool. We're back to annoy your lives for the next year, we think, possibly. Unless, you know, I get cannibalised, Lizzie breaks her ankles and Quiva gets directionally challenged and lost in a woods somewhere.
All very, very possible.
Yeah, it really is. So we'll see you guys next week. Like I always say recently, me and Lizzie for definite, quite possibly Quiva. And don't offer yourself up to cannibals. And yeah, we're still in a pandemic, so positive vibes and negative tests, and always be a hypocrite. Don't forget to tense your ankles
and join our cult.